Brothers and sisters, it is time. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to go to the streets on this issue. We need to be in the streets on this issue. If we look the other way, while our smallest brothers and sisters are being lynched in the room, we lose the right to be outraged that we were once lynched by the Klan. When white supremacist Tom Messer tells his followers to invest their money in ghetto abortion clinics, he's not talking about reproductive rights. He's talking about reproductive racism. When two guys write a book talking about Steve Levitt, John Donahue, when two guys, Steve Levitt, John Donahue, write a book in which they claim that the high rate of abortion keeps the rate of crime down, be assured, they know that a vast majority of American abortion clinics are in black neighborhoods.
Oh, yes, they are. Oh, yes, they are. Come on.
They know they're in the minority neighborhoods. What we need to understand is when we let Planned Parenthood into our schools, when Planned Parenthood put their death camps, when we let them put their death camp in black communities, in our communities, and when we sit back and let an elected government official take money out of our paycheck to pay Planned Parenthood, we have been played like fools.
Oh, yes, we have.
The fact is, if we tolerate something as evil as abortion, we could not be surprised if it turns around and is used against us. We can't be surprised if it's turned around and used against us. We can't be angry if it's turned around and used against us. Notice for sure, as long as abortion is legal, in America, we will never be able to stop it being used to commit black genocide.
That's right.
We'll never be able to use it as a weapon for what I call the mafia. The fact is, if we tolerate something as evil as abortion, we cannot be surprised or angry when it's turned against us. Said that one, didn't I? You know, it's easy to, it was easy to spot the enemy when he was a redneck, toothless redneck.
Amen.
Probably spent about 3 years trying to get past the fourth grade. But today, our enemy don't wear white hoods.
No, they don't. Come on, man.
They, our enemies, wear a white lab coat.
Yes.
Well,
with a stethoscope around his neck.
Yes.
Well.
And what gets really aggravating sometimes, like a pimp, sometimes he's black.
Come on, man.
And this is not about political parties either, because there's a reason I'm an independent. Both the Republican Party and Democratic Party have been in bed with Jezebel and the eugenics business for more years than you and I have been alive.
Come on, that's right.
I will also tell you this. Every time we vote for politicians who tell us they are pro-choice, it's like we're spitting on the graves of our ancestors. Our ancestors did not break the chains of slavery.
No, they
didn't escape the plantations and the cotton field just so we could actually then take power and give it to political people who were there to wipe us out.
Jesus. That's right. Amen.
We need to remember why there were civil rights groups.
Yes.
That fought against abortion in the 60s.
Well,
we need to understand what it was that Harold Crawford and Irma Carver and Craven was talking about long before abortion became legal in this nation, when they stood up and they noted there's a real connection between poverty, abortion, and genocide.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
They understood it.
Oh, yes, they did.
Amen.
Folks, you know, it's time we looked at what's been done to our children.
Come on out, Pastor.
I had the privilege of meeting Mamie Till in Chicago years ago. She complimented us on what we were doing. And my heart was really moved sitting next to her and having this lady look me in the eye and tell me that. Because you remember Emmett Till. And we have to remember what happened. When he was beaten and bludgeoned so bad that most of the time people say, "Whoa, this got to be a closed casket." His mother decided, no, no, no. She demanded an open casket because she wanted the world to see what they had done to her baby.
That's right.
And it's time we now look and not look away and look what has been done to our children in the womb.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's womb lynching.
Yes,
now the point is not that killing a black child is worse than killing a white child. It's not. Regardless of the victim's skin color, eye color, a hair color.
Come on now.
Legalized abortion is a crime against all humanity.
Amen.
Every one of them. But it's also, it's like a loaded gun. Aimed right between our eyes.
Jesus.
And every time we walk into a voting booth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on.
And we help elect the politician who says he's pro-choice by pulling that lever. Every time we pull that lever for a pro-choice, we pull the trigger on that loaded gun.
Jesus. Come on, man.
And a child dies.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's true regardless of what party they're in.
That's right. Amen.
It's true regardless of what office they are running.
That's right. Amen.
You and I know there's a lot of pro-choice politicians. They will concede. They'll say, "Oh, well, yes, we know that abortion is the taking of a human life." They'll know. They'll admit that. And then they turn around right around and say, "But it should be legal."
Yeah.
Well.
And I have to wonder why. No, in fact, I don't have to remember why. I just want to know how many.
Come on. How many?
Of these politicians who know that abortion is mass murder, tolerate it because they think the right people are being murdered. Now, I don't know the answer to that question. But I do know this. I know that if the Klan, with or without their hoods,
come on,
were to open up a whole chain of abortion clinics, and they were to concentrate them in black communities, we would be smart enough to know what's going down.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen.
But I'm telling y'all something, brothers and sisters. We shouldn't be smart enough to know what's going down now when Planned Parenthood and these other abortion businesses do the same thing. The time has come for us to wake up.
Yes.
The time has come for us to realize that we, our people, are no longer being illegally lynched one or two at a time.
Well,
at the end of a dirt road.
Yeah.
It's time for us to realize that our people are being womb lynched.
Yes.
It is time to realize they are being legally ripped to shreds by millions in air-conditioned rooms with sweet, soft elevator music playing in the background. It is time for us to realize that we are in a war. We are in a war that if we don't become involved and we try to look the other way, it's going to wipe us out. It's called black genocide. It's time that we realize we have found the weapon of mass destruction, and the weapon of mass destruction is the suction machine in Planned Parenthood. Knowing what we know now, we can no longer look the other way.
Well,
To end his mouth in the 21st century, we as a people will have to do something.
Yes.
To do nothing is not an option. The only question left to answer is, what are we going to do about it?
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another exciting Hebrew Council meeting. I'm your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus. You're listening to Signs and Wonders, the broadcast that came right on time. Today's date, according to the Gregorian calendar, is February 18th, 2012. Now, keep in mind, the year 2012 will not be here officially until March 9th. March 9th is, of course, the beginning of the year. Therefore, 14 days after that, we have the Passover. And if people are confused about that, go to my Sabbath page and we can the information on there. But before I begin this broadcast, I'm going to open with a message for our Father, and then we're going to introduce the people that are here. Now, I want to thank those that have come so far. And if somebody can give me a courteous hello, I can hear you in the chat room to make sure I'm being heard. And in the meantime, I'm going to open up in a word of prayer. But first, Brother D, can you hear me? Let me do a sound check. Hold on one second. Because, you know, I get on Skype and then all of a sudden I can't hear anything. Someone's typing. Okay. All right. You can hear me. Okay. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again for giving us another opportunity to speak to each other, and also give me an opportunity to speak to your children, O Father. Father, I pray that you bless us during this broadcast. I pray that you continue to watch over us. I pray that you continue to keep my heart humble, O Father. I ask that you put the words in my mouth that you want me to say. I ask that this conversation that we have is fruitful, O Father. And I pray, O Father, that you continue to just send your blessings with knowledge and understanding so we can wipe out that mind control that has hurt our people for so long. I thank you, Father, for your Son. I thank you, Father, for all you have done for us and will do for us. In the name of Yahushua's precious name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to... it looks like my, I have to check my sound, and then I'm going to start the broadcast, because I can't hear myself speak, and when I can't hear myself, I'm getting nervous that maybe I'm not be able to hear the people when they call in, then I can't hear the questions. So what I'm going to do really quick is I'm going to have to play a quick sound file, and then I'm going to have to call back in, and then start the broadcast again officially. I apologize for all the technical problems. You know, what can you do? Okay, be right back.
I really feel that I'm losing.
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
I can't believe
it could
be.
Babylon. Falling down. Okay.
What?
Coming to an end. Yeah. Last one standing. Let's go.
Feel the curtains closing.
Yeah.
My eyes shut. Time's up.
Uh-huh.
I reached the point of time where I made my mind up.
Yeah.
I threw away my clothes because I ran out of luck a long time ago. Now I'm on my own trying to find my throne.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the zone and it's best to stay alone. And if you shiver through your bones, you better pick up your phone.
Yeah.
If your friends turn their back and give you the dial tone.
Uh-huh.
This
take advice from Erica and call Tyrone. Cause Hen ain't gonna be there. It ain't cause I'm scared. It's cause the end is near, so I'm skipping out of here. So y'all can keep on stressing and growing gray hair. I'm marching on to my blessing, I hope you got it clear. I'm headed through the woods like little Red Riding Hood. And I ain't scared of the big bad wolf, I wish he would. Approach me in the wilderness, see what she could. Let's put an end to the wicked, it's time for the good.
You gotta stay strong, endure to the end. You already know, ride this thing out. Talk to him, Uriah.
Yeah, I got him. Just a messenger. Just spreading the word. You don't like it? That's cool. But if you do,
yeah. Here we go, here we go. Another one of them episodes like a menace, the phantom sneaks in.
Okay.
There's a disturbance in the force. Can I take any more? Never know. Let the message stay on course.
Okay.
You want me to deviate? I want you to get it straight.
What?
I'm not one to hesitate. I play it to checkmate.
Okay.
Go ahead and draw your sword.
Yeah.
What you keep on talking for? Babble on, Babylon. I see what you're really on. Got a couple guns, a couple bombs, got a couple spies, a couple lies. So
yeah.
It's no surprise when you raid my house. But the only thing you find staring is a mouse.
That's it.
I'll be headed out the back, left everything intact. Go ahead and check. Aha! The wilderness on my heart.
Okay.
So I stay set up.
Yeah.
I care less how you feel.
Nope.
I know the real deal.
Yep.
What my father says, it will come to pass.
Yeah. I'm just a messenger.
What?
Don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. It's about to be the end.
It's over.
Yeah.
What?
I feel like
what?
I'm losing my people.
It's all good.
But I gained a brother.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can everybody hear me? Check one. Oh, we're off to a great start. Okay. Brother D.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, nice, nice. Okay, I can hear you, and you can hear me
fine.
We can
hear you.
Okay, nice. All right, good, good, good. Okay, I was just I was concerned there for a moment. All right, everybody. Sorry about the rough start. You know, this is another Hebrew Council meeting, and I want to thank everybody for coming in again. I see that we have a nice chat room going on. We have a couple people online. And how it goes, if you want to raise your hand, I think you press the 1, and then we will answer your call. And but what I want to do first is I want to speak about a couple things. And then we'll have an open discussion on them. I want to also talk about a few announcements. But before I get into that, I want to comment on what I played in the broadcast. What you were listening to was the Mafa 21 documentary. It came out a few years ago. And when this documentary came out, it kind of like, let us see that are aware where the whole eugenics system started. And Brother D earlier this month sent me a document. It was called, I think it was Project 2000, and it was sent to Jimmy Carter back in 1977. And this is interesting because it also is in line with Agenda 21. And these are all the eugenics things that are happening right now. And if anybody listens to Alex Jones, and I mentioned him a lot because I advise everybody to listen to this man, even though he kind of tells half the story, or maybe he only knows half the story, but he's still a good place for information. Now, I mentioned him because he speaks a lot about eugenics. But what Mr. Jones gets wrong is he thinks that the eugenics system is here to wipe out the Caucasian. When the eugenic system was started for us, because they wanted to deal with the quote-unquote black problem, and then Hitler used it during the Nazis, and the people that took on the banner or took on the flame were the eugenics and Planned Parenthood. I mean, if you look at MAFA 21, you'll see the whole history of that. The reason why I criticize Alex Jones with the eugenics is because if you've seen his film The Endgame, in The Endgame, he doesn't even mention the root and where it came from. He kind of brushes on it, but his whole basis in Endgame was based on the eugenics being for everybody. But when it wasn't for everybody, it was for a specific group of people to wipe us out. Now, this is going to, what I'm talking about here is going to line up more when I get into Black, his story month. We're going to speak about this because it's important to what's happening right now. Now, MAFA 21 tells us exactly why they started the eugenics. Okay, it was through the anthropologists, and they were measuring the skulls, and they thought we were one-third human, so they figured they could just get rid of us, and they didn't want us to overpopulate the United States once we were free. And then the eugenicists just went crazy, and they started taking it into another direction. They started to use it as an industrial military tool to control populations all over the world. Because remember, this is before the IMF and the World Bank were created, so they use those same policies to destroy the third world. Anybody with brains can actually see that right now. So if we're going to talk about eugenics, let's talk about the core, where it came from, and who has it affected. And when they talk about abortion wiping us out, they ain't lying about that. So we got to wake up. Okay, like I said, we'll hit on that later. But before I start, I want to welcome, hey, Brother D, how you doing?
Shalom, brother. I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. It's going to be a nice, exciting broadcast today, brother.
Yeah, hopefully it will be.
Yeah, hopefully
it will be.
Yeah, hopefully they'll call up and have some nice, exciting questions for us.
Come in and share and help us out.
Yeah,
we need that.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see what you came up with looking at some of that material.
Oh yeah,
I wasn't shocked by it, but you know, we'd be surprised who's on board with a lot of this stuff. That, you know, historically we've always been taught that certain people were for us and some were against us. They just used different methods. So I'm not saying anything new, but I mean, it's been going on for a while. So
yeah, it has, brother.
2000 report was, like you said, was given to Jimmy Carter, and now you see exactly, you know, who this guy was. I mean, his name is tied to the Georgia Guidestones. I mean, he's got this report going, and you just take them back, and you can connect them with eugenics.
Yep.
But they were our friends, though.
Yeah, just like Bill Clinton. And Hillary.
Yeah, they get close to you, but those are the worst killers.
Yeah. Hit the nail on the head, brother. Hit the nail on the head. Okay, now, what we have today in this broadcast is I mentioned about the calendar. I always want to hit on this because we're hitting towards our time, which is the Passover. And we're going to speak about Black His Story Month. And we're going to open it up for calls. But now, to speak about the calendar, March 8th of this year is the beginning of Purim. Okay? Now, Purim is supposed to be a Hebrew holiday. To celebrate the events that happened during the time when the Jews were in Persia, and this is when they escaped the king at the time, and he was going to kill all the Jews, and Esther and Mordecai created a scheme where they got escaped and everything else. But like I told people before, a lot of people believe that the book of Esther is real, and you're okay with that. And you know, it's not going to change who we are either way, you know, if you believe that or not. But I would just like to add to your knowledge in the book of Esther and try to let you understand, try to help you understand that there was a lot of deception going on. And that also, I want you to understand that the book of Esther, they added 6 more chapters to that book after it was written around 285 B.C. So there's 6 chapters added to it, which wasn't written at the time. So there's something that you should understand. And also the book was not even found within the Dead Sea Scrolls. The book has a lot of interjections in it, meaning like it had a lot of Babylonian stories inside of it, like Mordecai is Marduk and Ishtar is Esther. These names have association to that. Those aren't Hebrews, okay? These are Babylonian names. And the story is something that is told as like, it's kind of like a story within a story, and there's a lot of things that are in there. There's different numbers and numerology within the story. So it's kind of like it was a story of something based on the Kabbalah that was added for a hidden, like, haha joke on you. And what makes that statement strong is because of March 8th. March 8th is a celebration of deliverance of the Jews, right? But in this holiday is over the Passover. Of course, it's not for us, but for those Jews, it's over the Passover. And they use it to, you know, because they are defeating Amalek, okay, the Amalekites, all right? And they always, you know, throw stones, and they have these little pyramid hats and little pyramid cakes and stuff. I mean, really try to analyze Purim and try to do your own research on that. But what it is actually it celebrates the end of Adar, the month of Adar. And Adar means destruction, okay? And then 14 days after that is the Passover. The official Passover, and it also happens to do with the moons and the way that the suns and stars are positioned. Now, an interesting thing is we just recently got a scare over the last couple of days saying that they're going to turn the internet off to a selected group of people. They say maybe 4 million people will be affected by this shutdown because there's a virus going around the internet and it gets into the person's computer. So they want to control the computer, and it so happened to be on March 8th, Purim, is when they're going to do this. So I don't know if this is another one of those little jokes that they're doing, but be on the lookout. And I just want to say if my computer just so happens to be one of those 4 million that were affected by this so-called virus that they have to shut down my internet access, then you heard it here first that it's nothing but a lie because I ain't seen no virus on my damn machine. So whatever they plan to do with this internet in March, they want March to be the month that they shut it down. Either it's the FBI or Department of Defense that want to shut it down, or it's supposed to be anonymous that want to shut it down to teach the government a lesson. You know, whatever that whatever happens, we'll see if they what the internet looks like when they turn it back on. But I mention that because March 8th is the day that they plan to shut it down. March 8th is the time of Purim, and they do not pick these dates by accident, and it's not just a coincidence, okay? And when we do have our Passover, when we do celebrate on the day, you know, what is that? What are we supposed to do? Well, it's to acknowledge that day, and if we can do it as a family, that means that we are growing in our knowledge and our understanding on who we are as a people. And then we will begin to take back what was stolen from us. And we begin to acknowledge that covenant that we made with the Most High to be the priest of the Most High and his representatives, his true representatives, not this Christianity fakeness or this Messianic Jew fakeness. I mean, if you watch that buffoonery with the Eddie Long becoming a king on the stage a few weeks ago, then you should know by now that the Messianic Jew is nothing but another stumbling block for those that wish to really try to figure out what's going on in this world. And they're actually perfect matched. The Messianic Jew and the prosperity preachers, match made in heaven, deceiving everybody. So we need to wake up and, you know, start to do your own research and try to understand what's going on. Before I keep yakking, you have anything to say, Brother D?
No, brother, you can go ahead. I'm okay right now.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention that about the Purim, and just to keep your awareness on that. But one of the other things I want to talk about, Black History Month. Now, I'm reading a book, and I'm going to, if you're on the Just In TV, I actually put the book up on screen so people can see it, and that's at whoinet.org or HebrewIsraelitesWakeUp.com. And if you notice the book, it has like this the Jewish star in the middle, and it says the 13th gate. Well, I did a lot of research on this book before I read it. I wanted to understand what was the 13th gate, who was this author, Tudor Parfit, and who was his publishers, and everything. And what does this have to do with Black History Month? Well, because we as the Hebrews of the Seed of Yaakov, if a Caucasian is telling us that he has found a lost tribe, which is the Limba tribe in Africa, then we must understand the information to try to find out what he knows about this lost tribe that are called the Limba in Africa. And let's just say I was highly disappointed when finding out who this individual was. And I read in the first chapter in the book, and it's called the History of the Jews of Syria, the Forgotten Tribe. Now, the funny thing is, this book was written in 1984, I believe, way before the internet and way before we can do research. And the book, you had to actually sign out at the library, and it's not really a popular book. And he read other books too. So, but he talks about the Jew in Syria, okay, and I think they call him the Misra Jews, but they're actually the Sephardic Jew. They're the Jews of the Sephardic lineage. Okay, now, these group of people were not allowed to settle inside of Israel. I mean, they could have walked there from Syria, but they had them encamped in this area for years, and it was a huge political thing. Now, I'm trying to figure out why, and I will get to the bottom of it on the real reason why. I don't want to speak before I do more research on it. But I do have I am speculating, though, that it was all to make those Ashkenazis there more legitimate. And also, I believe that there is some kind of conflict between the Sephardics and the Ashkenazis, you know. But both of them are from Japheth, so neither of them have the real claim to the land. They're all usurpers. Okay, but these particular people, the Syrians, here's something very interesting that I found out about them. They traced their line back to the Sephardic Jews. Okay, now, there's only a few places in scriptures that actually mention where these Jews come from. And it's actually in the chapter of Obadiah. Now, Obadiah is very interesting. Obadiah the prophet. Chapter 1. There's only one book in Obadiah, and one chapter. It's like Obadiah had one mission, and that's to expose Esau and talk about Esau, what would happen to him. And do you know that the Sephardic Jew is mentioned there? Not actually, it doesn't say Sephardic Jew, but that of Sephardia. Okay? Now, I don't know, let me think, should I read this or should I? Let me do this. If you have a Bible handy, I want you to open up Obadiah, Old Testament 1, because there's something that's going to be revealed here today, and I want people to be able to see it. Brother D?
Yes.
You got the e-sword open?
I'll open it up. Hold on.
Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read something, because this is all going to make sense. Now, we're still on Black History Month. Oh, and while you guys are looking for that book, I'm going to say something. I actually watched Roots this week. I just wanted to see it. I haven't seen Roots since I was 6 years old. And I said, okay, I want to see Roots now that I'm a grown man. And because I bought it, you know, I didn't have the DVD before, but I actually bought it recently, and I said, ah, nice, now I can actually look at Roots with different eyes. So I started looking at Roots, and I noticed a lot of stuff in here that I didn't even notice before. It's really interesting, and I'm going to talk about that later. But before I get into that topic, I want to go over this. Brother, do you got Obadiah open?
Yes, it's open.
Okay, now what I'm going to do, brother, I'm going to read like four chapters, okay?
Four verses?
And then, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to read four verses, and then you read four verses, and I'll read four verses. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yes.
We'll shift it off? Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, after I finish reading this, I'll tell you what. Now, remember now, we saw the white man, that's what we're saying, Esau's a white man. So, I mean, this ain't going to prove that Esau ain't the white man or nothing, but this is talking about Esau, so it's a topic that relates to what we've been talking about these last few weeks. And it says, Obadiah 1, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith Ayah, Elohim concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from Ayah, our Yahuwah, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her battle. And then it says, behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitations is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? And then the four. Though thou exaltest thyself as the eagle, and though thou sit thy nest amongst the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith Yahuwah. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 5. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, said the Most High, even destroy the wise man out of Edom and the understanding out of the mount of Esau?
Okay, now I'm going to read the other four. But before I read the other four, I want to set something up here. We have to understand now, Esau today is who? Is Esau the Amalekite, or is Esau a separate nation from the Amalekite? or is Esau mixed in with the Amalekites? See, it's a little bit confusing, but where is Esau now? Now, when I say that Esau was his mother and father were Hebrews, and then he became the Caucasian, you have to understand that Esau is what you call a chameleon. He changes. He goes from one nation to the next nation to the next nation, because within the seed of Esau is the Amalekite, and the Amalekite, that is his nature. That's the characteristics of the Amalekite. So now at this particular time, who is Esau? Now it seems that Esau is now losing a lot of power and a lot of friends. Okay? Now this has a lot to do with what I was talking about the Syrians. Because remember, the Syrians that are there, they're not Syrian people. They are people that settled in Syria. They were very rich people at the time. Okay? During the Spanish Inquisition. Okay? These are called the Sephardic Jews. All right? Now I'm going to keep on reading. And I'm going to read from 9 to 12. And thou, my O Timon, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For the violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Let me read that again. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. How does the shame cover him? How was he cut off forever? How was he the brother of Jacob? Okay? Usurpation, amalgamation, conflation, from black to white, Amalekites, intermarrying, interbreeding, becoming something that you're not. Okay, and I'm going to keep reading. Then it says, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the stranger carried away captives his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and casted lots upon Jerusalem, even thou vast as one of them. Okay, cast lots. This is just talking about going into slavery. Okay, this is talking about going into slavery. He was as one of them as we were going into captivity. As the foreigners came in, who are the foreigners? Well, we got the Greeks, we got the Romans, we got those from the Caucasus Mountains. Hello. Then 12, but thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. What? But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he, his brother, became a stranger. How does your brother become a stranger? Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Yehuda, okay, in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Okay, Brother D.
13. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gates of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their afflictions in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither should thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither should thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Most High is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall be upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been.
Okay, and it continues. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Let me read that again. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob, the seed of Jacob, shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stumble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Most High has spoken. And it says, and they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plains the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Smyrna, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And then I'll just finish it up, brother. And the captivity of their host of the children of Israel, and I say the children of Jacob, children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad. That's the Sephardic Jew, Sepharad, right? Shall possess the cities of the south, and the saviors shall come up to Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Most High's. All right, now this is basically telling us that we're going to have the victory over Esau, but Esau still exists, right? Brother D, before I go on, you got anything to say?
No, go ahead, brother. All right,
thank you for reading that, brother. Okay, now, like I said, when you look up the word Sephardic, okay, you only find it in this area, in the book of Obadiah. Now, hopefully I'm correct on that. Am I right on that, Brother D?
I got to check that. You might be right, but I do have to check again.
Okay, because I believe that it's only found
in... I have to check it again.
Okay. But, you know, the very few places you'll find it, but it's prominently in the book of Obadiah. All right, now why is this important? How does this connect to the Jews in Syria? Well, because we're going to try to track down Esau. Now, Esau is a chameleon, okay? Esau became Herod. All right, well, Esau was Herod. Herod, the Biutheans, they take over the seed of Levi, okay? They become the Jews. They are what was there when the temples were torn down in 70 AD, and they were there when they were kicked out of the city in 130 by Herod. Okay? They became royalty. They became royalty and extremely wealthy. They were merchants. Now, here's something that's quite interesting. When you go to the Strong's Concordance, okay, and you look up this name, Sephardia, it's in the Strong's Concordance, okay? It's called Sepharad. It's called Hebrews 5:6-14, okay? Now, if you just read it for what it says a foreign derivation, Sephardia, a region of Assyria, Sephard. Now, there's actually controversy over this name and where it comes from. But those that study with me for a while understand that when you read scriptures and you read the concordance, you have to go around the concordance. You got to look at the words above it and the words below it, because the way Hebrew works, from my understanding, is one word has a strong relation to the next word. And you continue to read those words until the meaning starts to fade into another meaning. So that's why you have to go to the root meaning, because the root meaning gives you everything. Okay. Now, when you look around, Sephardic, the word Sephardic, it keeps going. It says, it goes Safar, has the same Hebrew characters. It goes from the same root as 5609, right? And it says a scribe. Okay. Now, this is important. A scribe. Then it goes to 5609, and it says from a root responding to a book, okay, a roll. All right. Now, what we have to do is, hold on one second, y'all. My son is calling. 1 second. Hey, Brother D, can you take over real quick? Hold on.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Yeah. healthy.
'm back. You still there?
My mic was muted. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. All right, sorry about that, everybody. My son was calling me. Okay. Now, getting back to this, back to Esau. Okay. Now, when we're looking at Sephardi in Obadiah, now we're also we have to go down and take it to the meeting. Now, remember, it says that it means scribe, all right? And then we go down to Hebrews 5:09. And when we click on 5:09, it says, from a root corresponding to 5608, and then it says, a book, a scroll, right? So then you go to Hebrews 5:608. And then I'm going to read the full definition. Now, this is the root. It says, a primitive root properly to score with a mark as a tally or record. This is by implication to inscribe and also to enumerate intensively, to recount. That is celebrate, commune, count, declare, number, penknith, reckon, scribe, show forth, speak, talk, tell, writer. Okay, so now we have a lot of words that mean something here. This is the root of Sephardi. Now, if we take these Hebrew words, and break them down to the Hebrew calendar, like on my website, you see that when you look up the Hebrew characters, it gives you what they were in the original, what the original language was. Okay. Now, the first word, okay, is means to grab. It's like a thorn, okay? The character is a thorn. It says to grab. Then it says hate. Then it says protect, okay? Grab, hate, protect, all right? Now, the second word, it's actually a mouth, all right? And the mouth says to blow, scatter, edge, all right? And now, the next one, wait, hold on, let me make sure I get this right. The next one, it's actually a door, okay? And it means to move, hang, entrance. All right, now, when we look at this, we're like, well, you know, this doesn't make, you know, how are we supposed to put this together? It doesn't make really a lot of sense. But actually, it does make sense, and I'm going to tell you why. Because now we have to take this Sephardi, and what does it mean today? Like, what is a Sephardic Jew? What is a Sephardic Jew compared to a scribe, or compared to books, compared to the Hebrew characters that are trying to explain to us what this Sephardic means? Now, here's something to think about. Spain is considered Sephardi. Spain is nowhere near Israel. Okay? So how does that relate, or how is that connected to being the area of Sephardia and this and the Sephardic Jew? Well, because we're looking at the characteristics. When it says grab, hate, protect, blow, scatter, edge, move, hang, entrance. But then it talks about scribe, okay? Now, I get debt collector out of this because it's grab, hate, protect. It's talking about selfishness. Scatter, edge, blow, you know, like, you're on the edge. This is like being in debt, you know? And then this move in the entrance, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're going through a door. It's the entrance. You're entering in. It's an agreement. You know what I'm saying? I know it's, you know, you would have to look it up for yourself to see this, but when you start to read, when you start to research a lot of things start to become patterned. You know, you start to see a pattern with things, and then you start to see how they start connect and how the names relate. Okay, now, when you put this together, 5608, based on the true meaning of Sephardic, you actually see that these words are talking about some type of debt. If it's a scribe and he's writing down, it says properly to score with a mark as a tally or record. Okay, this is talking about writing down. Like if I buy something for you, I'm putting it down on a piece of paper. This is a merchant. These are like the first merchants at this time. Now, if we go back to Obadiah, and Obadiah is talking about how they call these particular people, these Edomites, the those of Esau. What were they doing? They were profiting from us being in captivity. Now, this is a prophecy. Who was profiting from us being in captivity? Who was the debt collector? Now, has anybody heard of the house of Medici? Remember, the Medici were the most wealthiest people in Europe. The Medici started the first bank. The first bank was the bank that created the debt that we see today. They created fractional reserve banking. Was this? How about the fact that these people were actually Sephardic Jews? The Sephardic Jews were the ones that were the debt collectors. Sephardic. This is the root of their name, their meaning. You see, like, an average person is not going to be able to see this. So you have to really put on your thinking cap and be able to really comprehend the significance of how this connects to Esau. Okay? Connects to Esau. Brother D, I just got a disconnecting from the network. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on, brother.
Okay, because my Justin TV just went off the air, but that's all right. That's all right.
Okay, you see
now? Okay, cool. So, before I go on, brother D, am I confusing or do you get where I'm coming from with this?
Yeah, take your time with it, brother. Take your time. I can follow it. Just take your time with it.
Okay, I just want to make sure people aren't. I'm not losing people. So. Now this is the I'm gonna warn people now. This is the beginning stages of my research to really dig into this, but there is a connection between Esau and the Sephardic Jews. Now I'm not saying that all the Sephardic Jews are Esau, because we still have the connection between the Karaites. Okay, the Boethians and the Karaites, and the Karaites taught the Khazars, right? But then we have to understand that the Khazarians are the ones that were able to be hired by the Holy Roman Empire, and when they hired them to battle, they became so powerful that they became wealthy. When they converted into Judaism, they became the lenders, right? So now that they are the lenders, okay, remember, we have the Esau, Boethians, Karaites, Khazars. The Khazars now are there around 700, 800, 900 AD, and now they mix into what we now see as the Sephardic line, because now they're the kings, and you're going to marry into wealth, okay? And these were powerful people, and then they migrated towards these areas, and we have some that split and became the Ashkenazis, and some that became the Sephardic Jews. So now we look at these people going migrating down towards the time of in Spain, and at that time in Spain, what was there? We had like a lot of the black people, the Moors, totally wiped them out, and then they took over, and then they created trade, and then they started to get besides themselves around 14 1400s, and then they had the Spanish Inquisition going on, and then those from Spain, the Sephardic Jews, went into the area what we know now as Syria. Now, here's what's interesting. They did not go into Syria until around the 15th century, 1400s. That's their first time being in Syria. So if they're in Syria at this time, this is when the Sephardic Jew first came in there. They weren't there, you know, 1,400 years prior. And that was only year zero or year one. They weren't even there 1,000 years prior to that. They are a new people that came into that area, which has a relationship to the blood of Esau. Okay? So now when we read this prophecy about them getting broke, understand, they were not allowed to go inside of Israel at the time. Oh, they're there now. They said there's about 100,000, but they're mostly in the United States. Okay? So this is quite interesting. And when I'm finished with this book, the 13th Gate, I'm going to probably do a quick broadcast on it. And then, we'll learn some more from there. All right, Brother D, I'm going to get into Black History Month. I'll make sure anybody has any questions, because I don't want to take up too much time.
We don't have any hands up right now.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm looking at the chat. Okay. All right, nice. Okay, so let me move on. All right, now, the Black History Month. Now, what does this have to do with the Black History Month? Well, because in Watching Roots, they were talking about, you know, I was looking at how the slave ships came over and how they, and who was actually sponsoring the ships. And we read the books, The Secret Relationship Between Black and Jews, and put out by the Nation of Islam, which is good research. But there's something else that we have to look at, and that's those in Europe or Britain at the time that were paying for the slave ships. Now, here's something interesting. The slave ships were being paid for through what was called a joint stocks. They had like a joint people. They had like people that would basically invest in these ships, and the people that were investing were all elites. And when you start to do research, you find out that there are all these royals and barons and the elite at that time, which was the monarchs. But the common person couldn't afford this. So you still had a very small group of people that were controlling these ships. And I think it was the House of Bourgeois, Bourgeois. And what they would do is they had a joint collection of all these wealthy people, and they're the ones that actually that created the United States of America. This elite group was separating themselves from the king, and they wanted to take their money with them. Okay? But these were all the same Sephardic Jews. So we're starting to actually figure out who was actually responsible for our captivity. And it leads right back to Esau again. I mean, it's really interesting that if you know how to read scriptures and you know prophecies, everything is lining up and matching up if you know how to look at it through history. Now, interesting thing, like after looking at the movie Roots, they have like the special features. And then LeVar Burton, wait, hold on. The man that played Kunta Kinte, he got on and he was talking about Alex Haley and how nice he was, and all these people were saying these wonderful things about Alex Haley. Which is really awesome, because he needs to be honored for what he did in showing us his genealogy. But they were talking about, one of the commentators were talking about history, and they were saying that this is the first time that the history was actually seen in the eyes of the slave rather than the slave master. And one of the ladies was saying that, I hate the fact that history is still the way it is in the books when it's actually inaccurate in how things really happen. And we have to ask ourselves, why are they, what are they so scared of? And why don't they tell us what actually happened in history? What are they actually trying to hide? And why are they so fearful of giving just the accurate history? Well, it's because somebody did something wrong, really wrong. And they want to hide the fact that if we found out, then we would take them to justice because what they did was wrong and they continue to do it. And it also matches up in scriptures, you know. So what I'm trying to do is I want people to become totally knowledgeable of history, totally knowledgeable of facts, where they can't shut us down. And then we demand this world changes based on who we are as a people. But the world's not going to change until we acknowledge that with force and with confidence. And the only way we can get there is by actually knowing who we are as a people, you know. So I advise for everybody for Black History Month to try to rant roots or look at it, try to look at it with adult eyes. I know some people say, oh, it's not, I don't know what they talk about when they say it's not accurate. It's pretty accurate to me. There's, you know, maybe they're talking about with that Amistad. Yeah, I think it was Amistad. But Roots was an awesome movie. And I, when I seen it when I got older, no lie, I got teary-eyed about 10 times in that movie. I'm like, man, this is heavy. You know, it was pretty deep, you know, a couple times from watching it. What else did I want to mention? Oh, I was talking – yeah, I wanted to talk about the different bloodlines. But before I do, I've been speaking for over an hour, and I want some other people to get involved in this conversation. And Brother D?
I'm here.
Oh, I see.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I can hear you.
Okay. Let's I want to open the lines up because
okay,
this is a Hebrew Council meeting.
All right. Okay, 323.
Shalom. It's Sister Leah.
Shalom. Oh, Sister Leah. Hey, Sister.
Hey. Shalom, everybody. Shalom. Shabbat.
All right. You got something you want to add to us, Sister?
To the conversation about the current topic that we're speaking about, I didn't have anything in particular to add. But I do know that I do want to also go and get roots because I've heard a lot about the story. And I actually wanted to do a small preemptive campaign possibly just to try to see how many maybe petitions that can be gathered to try to start changing the history books, at least on a small scale, or see if there's any interest at least to start making the truth come out for the children that are currently attending school and going through history lessons and whatnot, because I work a lot with schools. And so it's kind of been something that's been on my heart. I don't know how it would take, but it's definitely something that I wanted to try to do.
Okay.
But I didn't really have anything to add to this conversation or this topic.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. I just want to say welcome. I got your message earlier, and about the Hebrew minutes.
Yes.
What I did, I stopped. I wasn't taking any before because we were doing it live. But I think it'd be good if we can actually still get that going, so I can post it on the site just in case somebody would rather, you know, read it rather than listen to it.
Okay.
Okay. But thank you so much, Sister. Welcome.
Thank you. And I think I had another question about, I think you might be bringing it up later on, though, about coming together as a Hebrew nation, about the different ways that we were going to reach out and try to do things for our Hebrew family, those in need, and especially for you, so that you are supported. And all the amazing work that you're doing for the council, different things that we could do to bring everybody together. throughout the week before we get to the meeting on Shabbat. But I think he might be bringing that up later on. Is that correct?
You're right.
Okay.
Okay, now, yeah, thank you, sister. Actually, I wanted to, this meeting, really, the main focus I wanted to be about is bringing the Hebrews together and making a plan on that. So I was trying to, like, you know, burn through some time just to get people to get online.
Okay.
So, and hopefully people can listen to this later. But, oh, and I want to make an announcement. Next Saturday, okay, I think it's next Saturday. Hopefully I can, yeah. Next Saturday, we're going to have a guest. And it's a man by the name of David Hitt. Okay? And David Hitt has the IAAC, International African American Caucus. And this is a group of African Americans. And I'm a part of this organization. And what we do is they're trying to create unity and action. It's a African American nation, and a lot of people are trying to develop a homeland in Africa. Okay? Now, a lot of stuff has happened since I actually joined the organization, and I've been a member now for about two or three years. But before, I wanted to jump in the water with both feet and dump my head in and swim all around. I wanted to investigate my heritage as a Hebrew, the Sidi Yaakov. And I have a slight different way of doing things because I thought about a lot of stuff. And David Hitt's going to come on the broadcast, who's actually the president of the organization. And we're going to talk and we're going to debate a little bit about the issues. And we're going to try to come together on how we can all work together to create this nation. And the other thing that I want to speak about is, hold, brother, we have one call, 910.
Okay. Open them up.
Yeah.
Shalom.
Okay. 910.
Yes, shalom. This is Shona. How you doing?
Fine. Hello. How you doing today, sis?
I have a few questions. First of all, at the beginning, you mentioned something about Project 2000 and something else, 21. I didn't quite capture that. I want to write it down. I don't know if I have the correct terminology, Project 2000, something other 21.
Global 2000 report to the president.
Oh, Global 2000. Okay.
Yeah, I probably said Project 2000.
Okay. And you say Global 2000 report to the president. And then there was something else that you mentioned about something other 21. I didn't catch the first word.
It was Agenda 21. Yes.
Genesis 21?
No, Agenda. Mm.
Okay. Also, I had emailed you earlier in the week about the Quran, and I read the email, and I just wanted to know if you could give me more understanding about why we should, read the Quran, in terms of it being. What could you give me more information about that?
Hey, like in my email, what I explained.
Mm-hmm.
About the Quran is okay. Let me explain it like this. The first book that was written as a actual book of all of the history and the prophecies that was collected was called the Septuagint, and it was translated in Greek 300 BC. About 285, 300 BC, okay? Now, it was written because the Greeks wanted to have an understanding about the Hebrew religion. The person that was writing the book, okay, the scribe that was writing it, found it extremely difficult to translate the information into Greek. So what happened was when he translated into Greek, he got a lot of the information was mixed up, because it's hard to translate something into another language. And then when his grandson and when the other, you know, when the generations came after him understood Greek more, they saw that there was a lot of mistranslations that happened. Okay. Now I use this story as an example. What they did was they started to create other books to correct those errors, or then other people started to say they were errors, and you know, so now what we have is we have a different collection of books to try to understand what the Hebrews were trying to relay when they translated the books from ancient Paleo Hebrew to Greek in captivity, mind you. Now what happened? Out of this, you had the Jews taking over, the Edomite Jews taking over, and then they taking the books, translating them, and then we have the Christians taking over. They're taking the books, translating it to the Vulgate, which is Latin, right? And then we have the Syrian, we have the Armenian, we have all these things just in Christianity. And then we have Islam. Islam has the whole story of the Hebrews, but they were in opposition to Jesus. They were in opposition to Jesus because at the time there was a controversy, a conflict that was saying, is he God or is he not God? That's why you have the Council of Nicaea, because the Council of Nicaea, were debating whether they should create Jesus as God or if he was just a prophet. The same thing that the Muslims did.
Okay.
Now, before I keep going, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So now we have a lot of books now, even prior to the Quran, that we have to investigate, because there's a lot of translation, but they all have the words of our history inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we have the Quran, Islam, a new religion. But is it really a new religion, or is it our old history that was turned into a religion again? Okay. Because it has our stories in it. Now we have Islam, we have Allah, and Allah is close to Ayah. The difference is the L, you know, there's Ah, the Allah, the Ayah. So there's some type of connection to the Creator, all right? Now I bring all that up because now I say with the Quran, am I to look at this book and say, I'm just going to throw it out and not use it because it's not... because the Christians tell me it's wrong? All right. Now that I realize that Christianity has a huge flaw in it, and that flaw is called the Amalekite, and that flaw is called the usurper, and that flaw is called the Roman Catholic Church, okay, and that flaw created the Protestant movement and everything else, anything that they tell me is not good, I have to read now. Because they are the people that are the ones that are always hiding knowledge from everybody so they can remain in control. And then we have to look at why are they killing the Muslims, or why are they demonizing them. There's something in that book that is useful to us. So the reason why I have it as a resource is because I know that there's things in that book that are useful to us. And I have different people that are Muslims and practice Islam that are the best people I ever met in my life. And they are that way because of this book. So... I've gone through the Quran. I haven't read it fully because I don't have the time like I want to. But I am able to see there's certain things that they say with Abraham and with Yaakov. The story's a little bit different, but the stories are still there. You know what I'm saying? And then we're able to kind of compare the story within the Septuagint, the King James, the Quran, the Old Testament, fill in some of the gaps, and compare, and then use it as a resource that help us to gain more knowledge. So that's why, you know, I pretty much have it up there as a resource on the page.
Okay, I understand.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Any other questions?
No, that's it. That's all I have right now.
All right, sister. Thank you so much for calling. And you, you had a problem logging in, right? Did you sign up?
Not yet. I got your email this morning, but I haven't taken the time out to log in yet. But I will today.
Okay, you log in, and then I'll make sure I put you in as a member, and you can just come in, download all the audio files and transcripts, and if you ever have any questions, just feel free to call me up. You don't bother me. I'm free. As long as if I answer you, I'm free. If I don't, give me some time. I'm just preoccupied.
Okay, because I'm full of questions because my eyes just been opened about a year ago, so I'm full of questions now.
Okay, well, I'm here
but
for
I
you.
I appreciate it.
And also
thank
don't forget
you. Uh-huh.
You're welcome. Don't forget Brother D also. He's here for you too. He can answer some questions too.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. All right, now the coming together. That's what I want to get into. I was speaking about David Hitt, and I was speaking about the African American nation that I'm a part of. I'm proud to be a part of this nation. I'm proud to be doing something that's going to uplift our people. Okay? And I don't want to get too much into it because we're going to save it for next week. But there's certain things that I think that need to be done because of where I'm from right now, where I am right now in my understanding, that I think we should do things a little bit different. But, you know, we still should look for a home in Africa. We should try to get back to our roots. But how we do that is very important. And it's like you got to strike it with the bullseye, especially with these devils that are looking for us to fail. In saying that, I hope people can see the importance in this, and I hope people will join the conversation in this, because sitting idle and watching it happen is not a good thing right now. What we need to do is we all need to participate. We all need to put our minds together and figure out how can we best handle what's coming down the road. Now, there's a lot of people that are getting together and they're preparing, but we're not. Because we're not, we were never a people that had it together. We were forced together with the projects, you know. And, you know, that's not coming together. That's forced together through a government program. You know, we don't have anything. And we have to start building something. But the good thing is I see a lot of Hebrew names out there on Facebook. I see thousands of us, and I see thousands of, and I see hundreds of different Hebrew organizations. If we can just come together and for a common goal, which is building a actual Hebrew community, we all agree to move to a place, which is, I heard other brothers talking about, and Brother D and I talk about this a lot, is we need to build a place within the United States where we all agree that, okay, let's try Detroit, or let's try Chicago, or let's try Georgia. Let's try somewhere where we all make a commitment, okay, to go to that area. And then when we go to that area, we start to, you know, build it. We make a commitment, okay, we're only going to purchase, you know, Hebrew products. Because if we only purchase Hebrew products, then we make sure that the money cycles within the Hebrew community. And then we all agree that, okay, everybody is going to celebrate the Shabbat. We all start to celebrate the Shabbat. Everybody gets together, and every week we start to get caught up on each other's lives. You know, we start to meet each other. We have each other's backs. And then the petty things, the petty differences that we have, we can put them aside. Because they are petty because all of us are ignorant. We're arguing who's more ignorant or who's less ignorant than the other person. If we argue about Esau being white or black or what, that's an ignorant argument because we don't know. But if we let that keep us apart, then it becomes a stumbling block. And it says in the word, you know, Esau was used as a stumbling. You know what I'm saying? We don't want Esau to keep us apart when we should be coming together now. So I'm just saying that if we can start to think in the terms on building and purchasing from ourselves, from each other, then we can start thinking about products that we can give. We can start to build. We can come. We can get a farmland. We can, you know, I mean, who's to say we can't? This world is, we could go anywhere we want to on this planet. Now, we have a whole country, United States of America. We got Hawaii, Alaska. Ain't nobody going to Alaska, you know, but anyway, we got Hawaii. We got like the southern states. We got California. You know what I mean? We can get a place, say this is where we're going to be at, and everybody starts moving there. We start migrating to that area. We bring our money. We bring our skills. We bring whatever we have to that area in the United States, and we build it. Okay? And we fulfill what the Most High says as us coming together as a people. You know? And I know I'm here in Sweden, but it's like, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. You know, I don't plan to die in this cold country. You know, I don't plan on that. You know, I need to be around my people. So, but if we're going to build a nation, then, you know, count me in 100%. Anybody got any comments on that?
Yeah, I got a couple comments.
Yes, your brother.
Okay, yeah. No, I agree with what you're saying about us, you know, trying to build a community to, you know, support one another where we can and whenever we can, even though we know, you know, like it's not going to be perfect. And like I said, we all have different things we disagree on, but we do have brothers and sisters out there who are, you know, thinking like that. Because, you know, it's a couple, like on Blog Talk, for instance, there's you know, we listen to NOY Radio and the Saints of Yah. You know, those brothers and sisters are doing some good things, and they're talking about coming together and as a community to support one another, because, you know, we have a lot of talent, and, you know, it's one way for us to support each other. Even though we are spread out, it's possible for us to start talking about at least coming together, concentrating in an area to, you know, help ourselves. And, you know, like I said, I appreciate what those brothers and sisters are doing at the Saints of Yah NOY Radio. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, man. And I listened to two of their broadcasts. And I'm very impressed by it. And hopefully we can get them on Who and That, and we can all conversate, you know. I mean, it'll be really good, brother. Oh, I think we have a call, brother. Three, two, three.
Oh, it's Cecilia again. I just wanted to add a comment or a suggestion, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
I really like the idea about bringing our money, skills, talents, and resources together to start to build. And it's really important, you touched on it, and to build in confidence, you know, not to kind of say, well, let's give this a try, but have doubt in the back of our mind, but to just go and do it and be confident that this is something that the Most High will bless, because we are doing it out of knowing who we are and not just kind of out of a frivolous fear. What do you think if we started small and, like, for instance, there's a couple of Hebrews in the state where I live, we can start maybe building a small community, like wherever everyone is in their own state, connect with the Hebrews there and start to build a small community to see how it would work, to see what resources we're able to bring together effectively. And then once we see what works and what doesn't work, we can bring all of those things that do work together for the larger community, where more Hebrews can come together. Does that make sense? Am I making any sense?
Perfect sense.
Okay. So I can connect with those that are in my state, even though they're a little far away, they're in Northern California. We can see what we can come up with that works, resources we can bring together effectively, and then when everyone decides on which state or area would be comfortable for everybody, we can bring all the things that work, weed out the things that don't, and start to build there, and just don't look back, because that fear is a huge, huge stumbling block. And we know that the enemy is going to try to do whatever he's going to do. That's a given. But if we can just move in confidence and hopefully start moving and doing less talking, that was easier said than done.
Yeah.
But, hopefully we can get something going soon, before, you know, the summertime craziness is going to go down.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, sister. I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, no, I'm done.
Okay, now, the comment, I want us to do it while we choose rather than us being forced to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's going to happen. If the Most High has to push us together, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, you know, it'd be nice if we can kind of get the ball rolling now. And hopefully these next few broadcasts are going to spark that interest and push us in the right direction. You mentioned something about the baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's really important because, you know, I do computer science, right? And I learned how to do programming. And in computer programming, they have these, it's like this UMI, it's like UML I'm talking about. It's a way that you actually can diagram a program to get it before you get it to work. Now, they do all these different steps in order to create the proper program. But wait, hold on a second. I gotta mute somebody real quick. Cause I hear some food. Okay, they do all these okay, sorry about that, y'all. They do all these steps in order to create a program where you go through these testing and this Q&A testing, and then you do like first iteration and second iteration. And I'm saying this because all of this is just to make sure that you can get some soda out of a machine or play a video game or something like this. I mean, there's all this planning, okay, just before they bring this product on the market. Now, if we're going to build a nation, if we're going to be coming together as a people, that we just can't rush into something that's huge, okay? Nobody has ever... everybody always thinks that everything's going to be great, but they never think of the bad things that are going to happen. So when the bad things happen, if people go in there and it's just like a nightmare, people give up and they will never try again. Okay. But if you start small, like you're building a program, you say, okay, well, you know, we have to go through different iterations, and first we start small, then, you know, we have more success on it being successful. So if we do, say we do want to go to Africa, all right, if you get like 500 people together, 500 people say, we're going to Africa, within a year, maybe 90% will probably be back on their plane coming back to the United States, and then they would never try it again. It was too hot. It was too hot out there. Oh, them mosquitoes, boy. Oh, Lord. No water. Man, that smell. Oh, my goodness. I mean, just, you know, I could just hear it now. And then it'd be like, you know, that was dumb. And it just wouldn't work. You know what I mean? Unless you are ready. Unless you know you can deal with that stuff. You know? So my thing is that, you know, my personal belief is if you're going to come together, you got to make sure that people that you're with have the heart to endure. And you can't really see that. You don't want to test the character of a person in a situation where you need them the most. You want to know that person is already tested before you get into that situation where you know you can count on them. You want to hope that they're going to come up, you know? But if you have a community prior to that, and you're in situations that aren't tested here in the United States or in the United States, which they use the system to your advantage, what will happen is the community will have a better chance on surviving because at least we're in familiar territory with familiar laws. And we handle the situation. It's just a different place. You know? We handle every situation in the United States. We built the country from ground up. It was nothing. We were here from the beginning of the United States. So we know the U.S. We know the politics. We know the people. We know how evil they are. We know how nice they can be. About the government in Alpha 21. We know how to handle it. We can utilize the Constitution that they say we got. We can force laws that they say we have. We know how to use the police force, the police station. We know about the prison system. We ain't scared of that. I mean, we have a lot of advantages. A lot of advantages. But we're not
right.
using it. We're not using
we can,
it.
Right.
Mike
we
is
can completely,
breaking up, brother.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, sister.
Oh, I was just saying, you're absolutely right. We can utilize the things that, I wouldn't call them loopholes exactly, but the rights that we do have, we can use them to our advantage because, like you were saying about the different policies and whatnot that are already in place in the Constitution that we can capitalize on, and we don't even have to label it in such a way that would cause them to start raising unnecessary red flags, even though they probably might, you know, oh, terrorists are trying to build their own community or something like that. We don't even have to label it in such a way that would cause them to take any second thought because they allowed for that community to be built in wherever it was when they were having all the polygamy and whatnot, and they didn't say anything about that until, of course, all of that madness went down. They had to go and save those children. But we can label it in such a way that it would just be like us, like friends coming together to build something positive. And we don't even have to, unless the multi directive, of course, we don't even have to call it something to raise any eyebrows. We can just do what the multi calls us to do and put together all the things in place, utilize the system to our advantage, like you were saying, and just keep building and not even give it a second thought as to, I guess, draw any major attention, if you will. Does that make any sense?
100%. Because what we can do is, remember, there was something called the Nubian Society. They built, like, I think it was, who was that, buddy? Dr. York. And he built this Nubian city. And it was huge. They had pyramids out there. They had a community. They had people living there. And then some dusty-ass sheriff came in who didn't like them and was able to shut it down. And then everybody went, that man went to prison for 120-something years. They shut it down. And, you know what I'm saying? They said it was a cult and then all that stuff. So if we're going to do something in the United States, we have to look at all of the past attempts, why they failed and how they failed. And we look at the successes. There is actually an African nation in Africa, from people from Africa, in the United States. I think it's around Southeast America. I don't know if anybody knows that. If you know, you put it in the chat room. But there's actually an African community here, and it has been going on for, I think, 40, 50 years. They got a king. You know,
really?
Do you know about that? No, there's actually a king there. I mean, we can talk to them, ask them how they happened, what it was that they did, and we have a model to go by here already. People doing it.
Excellent.
And it's low key though. It's low key. I gotta find it. If I can find it, I'll put it on the website. But these people are they're doing it, and they've been doing it. And I think it's around the area of the Geechee, you know, the Gullah people down in Georgia. Because that's, no, it has, hey, Brother D.
Yes.
Do you know about the African village around there?
No, I don't. You think, is it here or is it South Carolina?
I don't know. It might be South Carolina, brother, but I know. I have to find it, man. I gotta find it.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
because they got a king and everything, you know.
Mm.
And it's only about a few hundred people, but they're doing it, you know. And if we can model that, and if the media, they don't want to really shine any light on it, okay? They'd be like, you know, they like to show light on the black Hebrew Israelites in the street. But if we go there and say, no, we are actually, you know, Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov, and here is why, and here's prophecies, and we start bringing some truth out, facts, they do not want that. They're going to keep that as quiet as they can. And as they're ignoring us, we're building a beautiful community, you know, so our children can learn. We can have self-taught kids, and it's extremely transparent. You know what I'm saying? We just want to sell amongst ourselves. We're part of the United States. And as we build a strong community, when we decide that we have the right people in the mind and in spirit to go over to the continent of Africa and start to build there, we have something that we can go to a chief or a leader and say, look, we're already doing it in the United States. All we ask is we can have this piece of land, and we can do the same thing over there, and we can start building a community there, and maybe other communities around the United States to model what we have done. I mean, we never know what we have inside of us until we actually give it a try and do it. You know?
I agree.
We're a wonderful, strong people. Look what Booker T. Washington did with the Tuskegee Institute. He had like a handful of slaves. They went to a trade school to get their skills up. And they've been building stuff since, you know, for hundreds of years already. They went in there and built the most beautiful town you have ever seen. Black Wall Street. They went in there, they built up Black Wall Street. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful, they got jealous and tore it up. Okay? Now, it's in us to do that. We have that ability to do that. And not only do we have the ability to do it, it is a necessity. We the only people that ain't got nothing like that. You know? We need it. And it's especially if we're saying we are Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov. It is time for us to separate ourselves spiritually. Okay? And for the time we can do it physically.
Brother David?
Yep.
Three things. They're saying your microphone is still breaking up a little bit.
It is.
And the second is about the minutes. There's a lot of suggestions over the past almost year or so inside the minutes that would help us with all these things. We've spat out quite a few. I was just reading over the one that we did in September. There's a lot of suggestions that we've all spat out in the minutes that would help probably for this endeavor. If you wanted me to re-email them to you or show me how to post them on the WhoaNet website. And the third thing is one of the family members wanted to know how he broke the rules in the chat. He messaged you and he just wanted to know.
Talking to me? About the rules? What happened?
It said that the microphone was muted by the admin for breaking one of the rules in the chat. He just wanted to know how or which rule was broken.
I don't know. Brother D, did you meet somebody because they broke the rule?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like for people to call in. I mean, if we're talking about one thing and there's something else going on in the chat room, call in and share it.
Oh, okay.
But,
hey,
you know
what?
We had a lot going on, and I want them to call in.
Okay.
Call in and share that great knowledge with us, please.
Okay.
But yes,
I
will do that. If it's getting too crazy in the chat room, I'll mute people. I will.
Oh, okay.
Hey, brother, keep it going. I'm going to call in on the phone because I keep breaking up, and then it'll be clear on the phone. But keep going. Give me like 3 minutes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to address I see Brother T had put something in the chat room. Said, Brother Dawi, great idea, but this has been tried by Negroes before Liberia, the state, exists. Yeah, I understand that too, brother. All we're doing is just starting a dialogue about it. You know, we're not being naive about trying to go do something that's been tried and failed. We failed before, but we're just bringing up some things locally, talking about what we can do here, the possibilities of what we can do, you know, to help one another. But, you know, if you're on the line, you know, put your hand up, because I'd be glad to bring you in and let you talk, because that's some good information you gave us. So if you're out there, Brother T, come on if you want to.
I agree. We're also looking at, through the dialogue, finding out what mistakes were made in the past, why those past attempts failed, and trying to look at what ideas may be able to be fruitful if we were to attempt something. It would be completely with foreknowledge. Now that we have historical facts, we have the knowledge of who we are, and we have references to why those past attempts failed, we may be able to make at least a few things work positively with the blessing of the Most High.
Right.
We don't have to
fly
in to try on a large scale of what they did in the past by trying to build with just a few people an entire city. But we can perhaps do a couple of things that may work. You know, by, for instance, Mama B had said she was spreading the word about Hebrew consciousness and making sure that we know who we are. And we can start by purchasing each other's goods. That in of itself is huge. If we look around and see who in the Hebrew community is making something or has a business, start supporting them from where we are, that's big. You don't have to move anywhere to do that. And then from there, we can start to come together in certain areas, establish something that says, okay, we're doing this by the blessing of the Most High. There's tiny little steps.
Small steps, yes.
Yeah, that's monumental.
Yeah, we have people all over the place who's got businesses. We have people making clothes, and, you know, they're isolated in the areas that they are. But, you know, if we start coming together and networking, you know, that's one way we can do it too, even if we're not on the same land or we're not in the same city. But that's a part of community too. You know, we can, we can at least deal with the economics of supporting one another. And, you know, that's a help to us too, because, you know, like I said, it's just things that we can do to help one another. We can sit back and complain and moan about stuff, but there's some small things that we can do what we can do. And that will be an increase for anybody who's got talents to do things. And, you know, they feel like they're being overlooked or they don't have the support. But if we start, you know, talking and, you know, hey, I may need something, some service that you can provide, Sister Leah, but, you know, if I won't know it unless I ask, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you see, Sister? She put the link in there for the kingdom.
I can hear you now, brother.
Okay, that's good.
The kingdom of Oyotunji, the African village down in South Carolina.
Is that it? Nice.
They Nisi Yaw put it in the chat right there. Wow.
Where is it at? Which chat was it? I can't see it.
It's www.roadsideamerica.com.
Okay, I got
/story/. You got it?
Yep, I got it. Okay, you know, I want to address something. I got, there's a person in the chat, T. Blake, Blakeney?
Yes.
TBB. Well, okay. All right, now, one of the, because, you know, the chat, I want to make sure that they get involved in this conversation.
Oh, I did. I asked them to call in, you know.
Yeah, 347-826-9484. 347-826-9484. Listen, if you don't call in now, and while we have an opportunity to speak like this on this venue you wish you had when you came. So, you know, call in. Let's discuss it. Let's do this now so we can build it. It's going to be needed. Trust me. If you can't right now. You don't see it when you know, you have don't have the ability to actually talk about it. But what it says is Brother Dawid, great idea, but this has been tried by Negroes before. Liberia, the state existed, but what is the present condition it looks right now? It says, now that Ghana is the most stable state in Africa, America is on a campaign of self-destruction on the continent. You know, everything right here I agree with. But
we sort of addressed that,
why,
too, while you're away.
Okay, but this is why I emphasize us understanding history and us understanding knowledge. Now, if you recall, we're going to get to the call 252 in 1 second. If you recall, in Rise of the Black Messiah, Know Thy Enemy, I was pointing out about Liberia and Sierra Leone. These states were set up by the usurper for us because we were already talking about a Back to Africa movement. When the slaves were becoming, during 1776, Prince Hall was the first to actually start, well, he was not the first, he was the first prominent person to start really talking about that. But it was set up by the Masons in order to continue slavery because they wanted to take over the continent of Africa, and they wanted slaves that they have already broken in that continent to take over. And if you look at the history of Liberia and Sierra Leone, you see that's what the Whig Party did. It was fake. The state of Africa now is based on what the usurper has done to us, and they brought us in there as a ploy. It was never our control. You see, we are going to do something with full conscience, with full knowledge, full understanding. When Marcus Garvey did it, he didn't know how wicked the United States was. He thought that if he would make some stocks and put the stocks on the market and we start buying stocks, then we had 3 million people in this organization. We were actually had ships. They sold him bad ships. They made sure that the ships didn't work. They made up a lie about his stock. They didn't want him to leave. They totally destroyed that because they wanted to make sure that we had free labor still here. And now, please, go over Rise of the Black Messiah from one to the end. That will give you so much knowledge and understanding why it's important that we have to know that before we even attempt something like this. What we need to do is it's vital that we come together as a people because the system of the United States is falling apart. This world is falling apart. When the Chinese people go to Chinese and the Mexicans go to Mexicans and the Japanese go to Japanese, the African-Americans go where? The African-Americans go to African-Americans? What African-American community are we going to go to? Are we going to go to Bronx, Brooklyn, Detroit? You know what I'm saying? We can go to projects. Where? You know, but if we come together as Hebrews of the city of Yaakov and understand that we have a purpose, we have a people, then it is different. Then people that went to Liberia or Sierra Leone didn't have the knowledge that we have now. They knew how wicked the man was, but they had no power to combat it. Now we have power to combat it, and we know how wicked this person is. And we have on our side the law, because we can hold their feet to the fire. Because if we go down, everybody goes down. If we lose our rights, they lose their rights. We have some powerful people that do not want their rights to be lost, so it's vital that they give us our rights. If we know how to use the system to our advantage, we will win. It's only right. It's the Constitution.
Okay.
So I just wanted to address that.
Okay. I'm going to bring on 252, okay?
Okay.
252, mic's open. Go ahead, brother.
Shalom, family.
252. Hey, shalom, brother T. How you doing today?
Doing fine. I had made the comment. Right now, the African continent is under a campaign by the United States and the NATO allies for destabilization. You know, I actually looked at, you know, when I talked about the subject of fleeing into the wilderness, which might be the best African state to go. But, of course, you know, Egypt, the problems are flaring up in Egypt again, and the United States is, you know, what's happening in Libya and what's happening in Sudan and what's happening in Somalia. So, and I definitely don't think South Africa would be a good state to go to, but what we need to do, I believe, is first, like I said, get back together where we have our nation-building skills. Right now, the majority of us Hebrews, especially living in the urban areas, you know, all we know is to go to the grocery store and buy our food, but we don't know anything about building homes. We don't know anything about plumbing. And, you know, we need these skills if we're going to go somewhere. Or else, well, we'll be coming back on that boat after, you know, 3 or 4 months saying that we can't make it. So, you know, we do need those skills in order to build our communities, you know, to be living in a better condition than our present brothers and sisters that's living in the continent that are living there now. Because, now, of course, in some of the major cities and a lot of the states, you know, they live comfortably, but, you know, a majority of the Africans living on the continent, you know, they're living in poverty. And, you know, this is done, you know, this is a plan. This is an agenda. Money hasn't been spent on that continent like they've been spent in other countries. But I definitely think it's a good idea. And, but I think that, we look for a sign. There's a lesson that I had listened to called the Abomination of Desolation. So basically, when the Pope goes to Israel, then we know it's time to flee to the wilderness. The wilderness being the Sinai. But until then, it appears, even though I feel like the American government is definitely trying to destroy us, as there are all the children of Israel all over the world, right now, you know, it seems to be the best place for us. I mean, sure, Americans are living in poverty. Sure, Americans are being killed by the police. But it's not the wholesale slaughter like we see in a lot of other countries, you know, by their own people, you know, and they're probably being used as proxy. So I just wanted to mention that. And family, I just wanted to also mention, I know you got and don't have a lot of time, is, you know, I've been studying about the New Testament.
Wait, hold on, brother. But 1 second. We have 3 minutes.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
No, we're staying online. We're just going to switch over to the other side, and then that gives us another 60 minutes. So what I'm going to do, I want you to hold your thought, write it down, remember it. I'm going to give out the number for people, 347-826-9484. Call in, that's 347-826-9484. I have a feeling this conversation is going to start heating up because we're talking about nation building and we're going to start getting really into it on the other side. So I ask that you call in so we can start this very, very important dialogue. Okay, y'all, I'm going to play something, and then we're going to stay online. And then everybody, we're going to meet you on the other side, okay? So the number to call is, once again, 347-826-9484. Okay.
Moses, Moses, lay your rod in that Red Sea. Lay your rod, let the children cross in that Red Sea. Pharaoh host God knows.
I'm sorry, Brother T, you still there?
Well, yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, keep on talking, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. I see we may have some differences on, you know, how we see prophecy or whatever, but like when you know, speaking of the wilderness. Now, I know something's coming down, but I don't know, you know, if it's coming down to that way. I think I've heard the lessons that you're talking about, and like I said, you brought up something interesting about the New Testament, but I'm going to let you speak on that because I think that's going to that may start to answer some of your questions about how that was written and everything. But, yeah, we do have to at least start talking about our skills that we have, man, because a lot of us, we're not even aware of some of the skills we have because we're so – people are always telling us that we can't do certain things and, you know, so we don't even have it in our minds that we got these skills, man, just hidden away that we can put to use if we need them, you know?
That's correct.
Yeah, so – yeah, it's just good that we just start this, start the dialogue on this stuff because there's so many things that we can do to help one another out at least.
And the thing is, brother, listen, if we get it in our minds that, okay, this is who we are, this is where we came from, and this is what we want to go back to, how do we get there? And we just got to, you know, we have to, as men, as mature adults, sit back and think about that, you know. Look, I'm a 40-year-old man. You know what I'm saying? I ain't no kid no more. I know what I want. I know where I am. I know where I want to be. I know what I need. I know the state of our people. I know what we need. You know, we've heard it all before. We did it all before. I know they did this in Liberia. I know they did this in Sierra Leone. We know we did this in the United States. Yeah, but the Quakers did it also, and they've been having it now for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, we sit back looking at them do it. They got the Chinatown. We look at them have a successful Chinatown. If everybody else can be a success at this, why can't we? Why? Because we have somebody against us. When we identify the enemy that has his foot on our neck, we can take the foot off our neck. We take it off. And we go and build a nation with like-minded people. We don't need that many people. If we had 5,000 people out of what? What we got, 40 million of us? 40 million? What's 5,000 out of that? That's just a small drop in the bucket. But if 5,000 people were trading amongst each other and farming and trying to figure stuff out and praising the Most High and trying to, you know, that will spread out. It will go from 5 to 10 to 10 to 20, 20 to 40, 40 to 80. And before you know it, we got ourselves a nation, you know? So It is possible, it can be done, and it will be done. If not us, the next generation will do it because it's needed.
That's true, brother.
It is definitely needed. We've seen that integration hasn't worked. I feel personally that integration has hurt our people. So, you know, I know there'll be Gentiles that will be saved and everything, but, you know, we need to look at our inward selves and discover our abilities first. Once we get our acts together, you know, then we can look at, you know, salvation of other people, you know.
Yeah. We definitely need to, get our act together first, though.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with him 100%. We get us together first, and then we can worry about what message we can take to somebody else. You can't take a message that you don't have. So we do. It starts with us first. We got to get ourselves together first.
Yeah, we don't even know the message, brother. I mean, we know the message. You know what I'm talking about. We don't have the
I know, but you know, we're not there. Like, you know, we just have to tell the truth. We've been lied to about so much that we just, you know, we're still learning. Some people think they're awake 100%. I can tell you that I'm not. I know that. I've got sense enough to know it.
I'm sleepwalking.
Find out something every day and you just go, huh? Another deception, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's right.
Once we recognize that. Go ahead, brother. You go ahead and talk.
America is the land of lies. And when we can break that paradigm and know the truth about ourselves and actually come together. Right now there are, you know, several different Hebrew groups, and we're fragmented. So even us as Hebrew Israelites, we have to come together. And, you know, because there's certain doctrines, you know, you got the name issue, you got the issue about females. So, you know, we just need to do our due diligence and study, grow stronger in the Word. And hopefully the Most High will give us some direction, give us some inspiration and guidance on what we need to do to prepare ourselves mentally, physically, and spiritually for that next step to get out of Babylon, because I do believe this country is going to go down.
Oh, yeah, it's on its way.
That is the truth. On its way down.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much done. But, you know, what I was trying to tell people, what I wanted people to realize is that everything that they put on us is now coming back on the United States. You know, they said that we weren't allowed to have firearms, but now they're trying to restrict it from them. They try to make us, they put us, with the eugenics was for us, and now it's going on them. The rights that we have, the FEMA camps, the Alfred Plan, the, what's it called? The King Alfred Plan, then we have the Rex 84, the pharmaceuticals, all that stuff was for us. Now it's going on them. So their fate now is tied to our fate. The curses that we had to live with for so long are now starting to happen to the other nations around us. Now, if you don't hear what I'm saying, look at Greece, look at Portugal, look at Spain, look at Ireland, look at when they killed these economies. How are they going to build these economies back up to the way they were before? They're going to become enslaved, indentured servants. They're already owning all of their property, and they're doing the same thing in the United States. You think they're going to give it back? They don't take power to give it back to you. They're going to give it to the people that are their favorites, you know? We're entering a time of fascism. This is going to be a fascist dictatorship we're entering in, and not many of us are going to make it. So it is vital that America looks at what we're trying to do, and we all are in a situation where we have to help each other out. We have to now all say, okay, here's the Constitution. We have to stick by the Constitution, and this is what we want to do. And when things like Agenda 21 come in, or this, what is it, Project 2000?
Global 2000.
Global 2000 comes in, and when we read these documents and realize that they have been planning this for a long time to depopulate the world, even before there was, at the time the world was about 4 billion people, now that it's like 6.7 or 7 billion, just like exactly the same mark that they said it was, now they need to depopulate the earth. This is basically what they're saying. And then, now, how is the process of them depopulating the earth? Well, vaccines, starvation, abortion. You know, these same people are the ones that are in control of the industrial military complex. Okay? It's all fraud. But yet they have all this power to depopulate, and they take over the countries through the IMF, and now they're bringing about this fascist dictatorship. So no one's going to escape it. But if we are the seed of Yaakov, and we start proclaiming who we are, and we start standing up with bravery, then we have the ability to turn this around. But we have to separate ourselves. No?
I agree, definitely. Brother Dawid?
Yep.
Speaking of the whole depopulation, you've seen the one of the, I think, I don't want to say it incorrectly, I think it's one of the Rockefeller young men are calling him Plastic Jesus. David D. Rockefeller, I think that's what it is. Maybe.
Incorrect. Yeah, David Rockefeller.
They're calling him the plastic Jesus because he looks just like the Roman Caesarea Borgia picture of Jesus.
Yes.
His hair, his
yes.
eyes, everything. And he's blatantly pushing his depopularization agenda in all of the arenas in the news. And he's, you know, like they always do, deceptively and cleverly disguising his language to say things like, oh, well, the global agenda is really difficult to get everyone on board, but we have to use other methods to do this, 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 and that. And he's using really deceptive language to allude to the fact that we are the cause of, I mean, human beings are the cause of the carbon emissions and why things need to change so that, quote unquote, the generations behind us will have a better world and whatnot. But it's, they have done research and scientific studies to state that everything emits carbon dioxide and it doesn't have anything to do with the world becoming worse. Human beings emit it, trees emit it, everything does, and it doesn't even equal up to not even a fraction of harmful gases or anything in the atmosphere. So it's really a false agenda that they're pushing, which we know.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't hear the deceptive language on the inside of what they're saying. So I just wanted to know if you had, I mean, of course, you've probably seen this gentleman. I was watching a couple of video documentaries that they did, and they were revealing, thankfully, this man's agenda on YouTube. I thought it was great, the way that they did it, the way that they were able to uncover the words that he was saying. But you can just hear it in the way that he speaks. He tries to put off a very calm and happy and caring and passionate demeanor. But if you listen to the words he's saying we need to kill a bunch of people because that's the reason why there's a global warming or something to that effect. So,
yeah, and Sister, when you... Wow. You know what just happened? First, let me answer this, and I'm going to tell you all what happened. This,
okay.
This guy, Dave, I think his name is, I think it's David. I don't know, is it David Rockefeller? But I know who it is, or Rothschild. I know
Rothschild. Yes, it's Rothschild.
Yeah, it's one of Rothschild. I see him. He's to date Carmen Diaz, and he's this, he's one of these environmentalist people.
Yes.
Now, this man is a Rothschild. That should just tell you right off the bat that he ain't no good.
Mm-hmm.
Because the history of that family is based on eugenics. He's following this plan of this Global 2000 report. They were talking about the carbon, carbon dioxide back then, even before it was a problem. Through their computer models. Now, what kind of computer models they got in the 70s? You know what I'm saying? What kind of computer models you got? I mean, come on now. That,
right.
Are they predicting the future? You know? When you start digging into the people that supported it, it's all tied in with the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. All right? They were basically just mapping out areas in the third world that they can just take over, exploit their resources. I mean, if they were so concerned about the environment, why are they cutting down rainforests the size of Maine every week? You know? They're like cutting these down and then they replant some, but they're cutting it down, and this is taking the balance, off balancing the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere because you're cutting down all the forests. They don't care about that stuff. It's all about profit and control. Okay? So, when they start to come out with this, you know, Agenda 21 and the population control and the carbon dioxide, all this crap, and you really start to research, you realize that, it's a lie. You know, you mean to tell me these last 100 years, all of a sudden the world is now unstable when we went through, what, you know, from their state, what they said, 6,000 years. Now this last 100 years, it's now at a critical mass that we have to start killing people. You see, it makes no sense. Okay? We have crazy eugenicists that are in control. And remember, they first wanted to wipe out the African because there was too many in the United States. And now they are moving to people of color all over the world. And they're doing it. Like I was saying to Brother D earlier, you take a map go to Google Earth, look at Africa at night, see how many places are lit up on that continent. Okay, you only have a few cities around there. South Africa, of course, and you know why that way, and maybe places on the West Coast, and a few places on the East Coast of Africa that actually have light. But then you look at Europe, light's all over the place. Europe and the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But in Africa, ain't nothing. So you mean to tell me you have, what, 800 million people on the continent, and only a very few people can actually have lights? And that's overpopulation?
See?
So now you got to...
It's a lie, man.
There are places, and I've researched, because I was looking at purchasing land, there are places in this state that are uninhabited. There are places all over this entire planet that are uninhabited, that have massive amounts of acres of land that have not even been touched or built, just in this continent, and then in other countries that haven't even been touched. So how is this Earth overpopulated? There are places that have not even been touched yet. There's no way that there's not enough room for people on this planet.
That's the serpent. That's his game. He concentrates you into one area, and then he sells this idea about overpopulation. He forces you into an area. He overcrowds it. Then he sells overpopulated. See, he's forcing that area so he can enslave you. Then when he's rich enough and he's got another plan, we got to get rid of some people. Yeah, that's why I said we just have to, you know, like I said, we will have plenty of differences of how we read the scripture and how I just continue to learn, and I don't reject truth when it's in my face, even if I don't want to hear it, even if it's not what's being taught. But I'm not going to let that stop me from coming together with somebody who wants to dialogue and talk about us doing some things for ourselves, because that's what we need to do. And this is what we started here today, talking about that, because we need to talk about this, and we have to start talking about it now. It's talk today, and maybe, you know, in a few days, and when I say a few days, I mean down the road, we can put some of this stuff into action. And you know, and I think that's going to be helpful for us.
Amen, brother. Hey, brother, sorry to interrupt this flow, but I want to say something real quick. That village, I actually was doing research while I was talking, and the new oyatunji.org, and I know I probably messed that up, but that's that African village in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who they have a connection to, brother? The Yoruba.
Who? Do they?
That village. Yep.
They got a connection to Yoruba, huh?
Because look at Oyatunji Village, Pledge of Allegiance, Yoruba. And this is like, I think this is the ancestry of the Yoruba tribe. And we know the Yoruba were from the Assyrians, remember?
Mm-hmm.
That book we're reading, it's called The History of the Yorubas. From the earliest times to the beginning of the British
protectorate.
So if that's the case, then, and if we start talking to these brothers, and they start to realize that we're waking up to who we are, this might be a connection that we need, you know? I think we're on to something. I'm going to call these brothers.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to see.
See what they know, brother.
Yep.
And also see if the so-called gatekeepers have swooped in and try to take it over. You know what I'm saying? Hand them Judaism right quick.
Yeah, give them Judaism and turn it into or turn it into an amusement park. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good information. Yeah, that's good. Now, Brother Tico, you say you found out some stuff about the New Testament. You can go and share that with us, you know, see what we can get from it.
You talking to me?
Brother Thomas, you still online?
I'm here. I'm still here. I was just listening to you. Brother Dali, I'm a native from South Carolina. I just like to share some information that I came into contact with you when I was trying to research some of my family genealogy. I found out that we came in from the Charleston slave port, slave market, and a large majority of the slaves in the South Carolina area, of course, came from West Africa, but they came from Nigeria, and they were of the Igbos, Igbos, and Hebos tribes. And those were descendants of the Hebrew Israelites that migrated into that area, you know, after the fall of Jerusalem, you know, through the centuries. And the information I read from South Carolina was that these tribes were better suited to the production of rice as opposed to the Native Americans who, you know, succumbed to the different type of diseases and everything like that. So that was in the book that I purchased after learning that information was called Igbos, Hebrew Exiles from Israel. And I'm sure you guys are aware right now they're having strife in Nigeria. And like I said, I had looked at what would be some of the safest states if we were to go ahead and make that move. And, you know, I was looking at, you know, Nigeria, but when all that, it's not quite a civil war. It's like infighting among different militant groups in Nigeria. And so Nigeria is not a safe place to be in right now, but that book, Igbos, Hebrew Exiles from Israel, very good read. And I think if you guys get a chance, you should definitely purchase that book and read it, because it has a lot of information that goes back to the Hebrews from Jerusalem when the temple fell. It has a lot of information regarding that. Still there, brothers?
No, I'm listening, brother.
Yeah.
I'm listening to everything.
Are you catching that, right? Howie?
Yes. You know what?
Are you catching what he's saying?
Yeah, and this is in line to what we've been talking about, brother. We have a professor. I'm not going to mention him right now, but we have a professor that we've spoken to that already was talking about this. I'm talking about, like, you know, over there in Europe. And he's writing books about it. He's writing articles on it. And the book that I have, he suggested that I get this book. And I was able to, you know, find out about that fraud by the name of Tudor Parfit and, you know, find out who was supporting him and who was publishing his books to try to throw us off. But the truth is there, brother. And since you put that stuff about the rice, you know, I found that too, that we were suitable for that, for growing. That's why we were in that area. And that's actually the area where my family's from. You know, that's where they brought us at. And if you look at this website, I mean, I wish chat was open. I can put it in there. They have pictures of our people, and it's beautiful, man. I mean, they held the tradition, and this looks like it's something that might be a good resource for us to connect with.
Definitely.
I think it is, man.
Can you write this down? Everybody got a pen?
Yeah.
I can type it.
Look what I'm looking at. Okay, it's O Y O T U N J I. Got that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. K Okay, now, dot, W-E-E-D-L-Y.
W-E.
W-E-E-B-L-Y.com, C-O-M.
Okay.
Oyatunji.weebly.com. So that's O-Y-O-T-U-N-J-I dot W-E-E-B-L-Y.com.
Okay.
And when you go there, you go to, they have an organization, I think it's a new site they built, and most of it's for people to come look at the village. They got, like, some African music when you play in it, but it's, like, it's really nice. Those Israelites. All right, I'll have to get into this later. I'm getting excited. Yeah, this is it. Okay. Sorry about that, y'all. Did everybody pull that up? Did you get it, brother?
I'm not able to get it for some reason. W E E D L Y.
Okay, what I'll do is when we get on, if we get on Skype when we finish this, we'll have to put it in the chat room. Put it in the chat.
I was
okay.
able to get the one that she with the article about the village, but I can't get this one.
Were you able to get it, Brother D? Okay. Yeah, let me keep talking. Anybody got anything else to say?
Brother Sawi. Brother D,
I'm
sure you guys are aware that there's a religious group called the African Village that's also that's here in America, but it's, I think it's in Missouri, and it's headed by the brother, what's his name, brother, very pretty good speaker. If I wasn't thinking about it, I could probably think of it. Let me try to pull it up. Steve. Kind of bald-headed, dark-skinned. I'm trying to think of his name. It's called the African Village. He's the elder. God, I can't think of his name. But basically their doctrine is more African-centered. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to Hebrew Israelite-centered.
Right.
But like I said, I'm totally aware that, you know, look at all the times, you know, I see the connection between Africa and us as Hebrew Israelites. Some Hebrews have an issue with that, but of course, right now to the present day, the majority of the state.
Here's what I was going to say, Brother T. You know, from seeing you in a few chat rooms and stuff, right? I remember you used to speak like this, and we used to beat you across your head about that. Remember? Anytime you would bring up somebody Africa, we try to beat it out of you, right? Well, I'm here to let you know, brother, that day has changed, okay? Don't lose that information that you had. It's vital. Don't fall into these doctrines. Anytime you would try to bring up connection with that continent, they want to beat you across your head. We ain't no hammer. See that craziness? We got to get out of that, brother, but do not sound the way we used to sound. Please don't. Don't fall into that. Keep that information and those connections that you had. That was good information.
Yeah, because once we reconnect with that, what they gonna say, you know? It's a tool, a decisive tool, divisive tool to make sure that we do not get together, you know? It's going to be beautiful once we can, once this starts once we wake up to who we are as a whole,
yeah.
And we start to take advantage of it, you know, it's going to be nice. It's going to be nice.
It is. That's why I'm glad I just started all over and just started with research and, you know, it took me a couple of months, 3, 4, 5 months, but it was good to go back and just
look at things through a historical standpoint with the scriptures, as opposed to jumping on a doctrine that I've heard and I'm not supposed to question it. And if I do question it, I don't have an understanding. When clearly some of that, half of that stuff that I'm hearing, some of it's not lining up. And we got to look at, we do have to look at history. People don't want to look at history outside of, you know, the KJV, but, you know, we short ourselves when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The information that Brother T came with today, you're not going to find that in the scripture.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? So right there, that should tell you, look, we got to look at some history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Researching the history is the key to understanding our past, present, and our future. Because we as Hebrews, we need to learn not to repeat the mistakes of our forefathers. And that's the only way we're going to get out of our condition. You know,
that's
I
right.
Really feel to be a homeborn slave. Yeah, the name of that brother I was about, or that African village, was Ray Hagen. I don't know if any of you guys have listened to him, but
like I said, I know I can disagree with Ray Hagen on a whole bunch of things, but he said something that you cannot deny. You can't deny
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I mean, you got to look at what they wrote in the New Testament to escape their judgment. You know, they
absolutely.
That's why I said, Brother, look, let me tell you something, T. Brother T, you're in the right place for this. We don't silence that here. We do not silence stuff like that here. So you can speak freely, please.
Yeah, I ran into opposition, you know, when I was trying to bring up the stuff about our connection to Africa, but, you know, there's no denying it, you know. Moses was born in Kemet, you know what I'm saying? And we search on 430 years in Africa. I mean, that was during the Egyptian captivity. And then we fled to West Africa, where we lived 1,500 years before we got caught up in the transatlantic slave trade. So, you know, we intermarried. So there's African blood in Israel. And even right now, the Fulani, the Lumba, the Ashanti, all those are Hebrew tribes that live in Africa presently at this day. So how can we deny that?
The Hausa?
That's right. We can't. It can't be denied. So, like I said, it's just...
I like that, bro.
You know,
keep talking. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good knowledge.
I mean, we can't deny that because we get on these doctrines.
And children don't even know. They have no clue who they are.
But seriously, though, shouldn't it be obvious? We did come from there.
Yes. Well, because they have those usurped pictures of Egyptians and Northern Africans looking very, very light-skinned, and they don't get a chance to see, except for those pictures of the babies that have the protruding stomachs. They don't get to see all the wonderful historic side of our ancestors. So this is excellent knowledge that they need.
Right.
But I found it, Brother Dawid. I had one letter wrong. I had W-E-E-D-L-Y, but it's a B, like boy.
Yeah.
It said,
yeah, like
newoyotunji.org.
Yeah.
Spell it again. Spell it for me.
The website address?
Yes.
Or the,
the website address.
It's O-Y-O.
O-Y-O.
Thomas.
Uh-huh.
T-U-N-J-I.
N-J-I. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
AfricanVillage.org.
It's dot W-E-E. B as in boy, L-Y, .com. It's oyotunji.weebly.com.
Yep, Weebly.
Oh, okay, because I did pull up another one, An Adventure in African History.
Yeah, I saw that. That's where they have their, I guess, download.
Is that the same? That's just, okay, but they got a different place, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The,
We Believe. That name and WeBelieve.com, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I get it.
It should say at the top, newolatunji.org on their homepage.
Newolatunji.org. Okay.
Yeah, they're doing it. Did y'all click it around? If you go back to the page, the home page, you click on the very first image. Oh, maybe it's different now. And it pulls up a website, Yoruba again. And he has another home website.
Join the sustainable cultural community.
Got it.
They got the music playing. They got the, look at that, Trader Bazaar.
Hey, y'all, you know what? Brother D?
Yes.
I think what we should do, we should end this broadcast.
Okay, take it, Skype.
And then we'll take it on Skype. Because I think it's best that we do the discovery offline.
That's cool.
Okay.
Because I think we can pass links and stuff better, and I don't want people to sit around listening to us like ooh and ah and over websites.
Okay.
But
may I ask you this, brother T, do you have Skype, brother?
No. Explain how to get on it, and I'll meet you guys up there.
Did you download it?
I can download it. Just
then you have to download it.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can find us over there. You can pull up
the ID for Daniel Judah.
Daniel Judah 12, yeah.
Okay, let me try to download it.
Okay, yeah, but we can do that.
Okay, well, I know people are listening to this, and I want to make sure.
I got it. That's what I said. We can go.
Okay, well,
hey,
I just want to thank everybody.
Are you, yes? Brother T, you 252, right?
Yes, sir, 252.
Okay, I got that. I'll get that, and then I'll see. I can hit you up.
Okay, you got that.
Okay.
Actually, I wrote the number down, too, brother, just in case we get disconnected. Okay, I just want to thank everybody for coming. Next week, okay, we're going to have a guest. We're going to have David Hitt from the president of the African American Caucus, and he's going to speak to us about building a nation. And I want to have other brothers on to start speaking about that. And I think this should be a major theme going forward until we can actually make it a reality. And the good thing is we found some Africans in the United States, not African Americans. Well, they are African Americans, but African Americans that are going back to the African roots and realizing that this is our culture and they're actually doing it, okay, living it, and it looks wonderful. So hopefully we can contact these brothers and sisters and hopefully get them on the broadcast and we can actually ask them questions and they can guide us on how to do it ourselves. Okay, so I'm going to say a message to the Most High. Before I do, brother, do you have anything you want to say? Anybody have anything else they want to say?
No, I thank everybody for coming out, and sharing with us. And like I said, we all hit a line, and I appreciate the help and just showing up and fellowshipping with us. So, shalom.
Shalom.
Yes, shalom, everybody. Shalom. Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for bringing us together. I ask that you're with us in this endeavor. I ask that you guide us to the right people, that they can guide us and give us, wisdom on how to come together as a people. Father, we are just blind men groping in the dark, and we know you are opening up our minds to what we need to do. We ask that you lift this mind control, oh Father. We ask that you break those curses. We ask that you continue to bless us, and I thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Yahushua's precious name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, everyone. Hallelujah.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom. Okay, let me see. Okay.
Blues ain't culture. They sounds of oppression against the white man's game he's run on us all these blue years. Blues is struggle, strangulation of our people, cause we couldn't off the white mother socking it to us. But now, when I hear Billy's soft, soulful sighs of Am I Blue, I say, no, sweet Billy, no mo', no mo' blue trains running on this track. They all been derailed. Am I blue, sweet baby blue Billy? No, I'm black and ready